Jehovah, Jireh, care To the end of the world. So you said, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the earth. On to the end of the world. Thank you for caring. Even on Calvary, long before we was even born, yet you were so concerned. Send your Son to take care of our salvation, our healing. Thank you very much this morning, Jehovah Jireh. Care for us. Thank you. Pray, O Lord, touch your people this morning. Those that are returning from overseas after their vacation, pray that you will grant them traveling mercies. Bless your children here who had been praying through the week. But thank you, Father, for each one standing at a post of duty. In the song service, the musicians, the preachers, thank you very much for your goodness and grace to us. Life, health, clothing, shelter, food, and Lord, above all, eternal life, with a great hope of the hereafter. We cannot be thankful enough. Thank you. Bless the word this morning. Bless your people. Touch the sick and afflicted. Our little sister Bishop, Lord, weeping and crying to come to church. Pray that you will look down upon her if she is here this morning. Give her strength and give her courage. Remember all that are sick and suffering. Put the faith in their heart until we call that prayer line, Lord. I pray that you will remove the stumbling blocks out of the way that many may be healed. Bless us together. Bless the baptism today. I remember that man in hospital. Have mercy upon him. Spare his life. Lord, let his light shine. What a terrible way to go. That you may be able to use him for your kingdom. Bless your children. Bless your people today that are on the streaming in India and on the DVDs. Lord, that they will see. Bless them far and wide, our precious brother Watson, Nasawatan. Oh God, so many names to call in the different places, even in the Caribbean, down in Guyana. Oh God, we pray that you will bless Brother Patrick there, as he stands at his post of duty. Brother Kenny, oh God, different ones in Grenada. We commit them all into your hands, Lord. A special blessing upon Brother Watson for what he is through the ministry of Christ. Pray that you will bless each and every one far and wide today. Lord, bless the word and help your servant to say something. It will win his soul into your kingdom today. that will bring back your people from the way, the broad way of destruction. Pull them, Lord, pinch their consciences today, those that are ready to fall over the cliff. Oh God, I pray that you will quickly bring them to their senses. Bless your people, and humbly thank you for your wonderful Spirit, Lord, serene and holy. Even the beautiful weather that you have given to us, lovely evenings. So many good things to thank you about, Lord. We look at your creation and we marvel. We marvel. Thou art great, greatly to be praised. Your creation is wonderful. Oh God, we just anticipate the great world that we'll be living in. Oh God, help us and bless your people, young and old. Give them light and understanding today. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, for his honor and for his glory. And the congregation say,
Amen.
You may be seated just for a few minutes while the musician just holds. Yes. Thankful to the Lord. So I have a little message to preach to you today. And if we stand, we are going to read from the book of Mark, 16 chapter, and I would read from Hebrews 3, St. Mark's Gospel 16. Very simple scriptures, and a very simple message that the Lord laid that upon my heart for his people today. Maybe he is trying to win one soul. He would leave the 99 and go after that one soul. That's the care of the shepherd. 16th chapter of Mark. And 15th verse. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I believe that. God still heals his people. Even though 100 die, those scriptures remain true. The church should go on praying for the sick. And if you quickly turn to Luke there, maybe you might want to read the scripture. Luke 23 and 39. And one of the malefactors, which were thieves, which were hanged, railed on him. Bad attitude. Saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him. Saying, Dost not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The right attitude. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. today, this very day of this crucifixion, you chief malefactor will be with me in paradise. And over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, 14 and 15. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence of it steadfast unto the end. We must hold that faith to the end. Now the scripture said that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. You may be seated. And if I would entitle this subject this morning, I would want to speak on, it is easier to go to heaven than to hell. It is easier to go to heaven than to hell. I was trying to bring out this thought as I spoke on Christian courage and on the book of Esther. I tried it again, but then the Lord would not allow me. Seemingly, he wanted a little more emphasis upon this. Every time I reached to that spot, it made no sense. That is how the Lord leads his servants. That is how a message is found. You might have 100 messages written down there, but then you could go over all those notes and it make no sense for that day that you must preach. But then one out of them, or even none, the Holy Spirit be a witness to that. And it makes so much sense. And it feels so comfortable, for the congregation for that particular day. That's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then, though I tried hard to bring, some of these things out, it only came out vaguely. But what I am trying to say this morning, and it's supposed to have fitted in those contexts that I preach on Christian courage. And I simply want to bring to your attention today that it takes more courage to go to hell than to go to heaven. And when we compare the courage that was displayed by Bible characters, even from Abel right down to the end of the Old Testament, John the Baptist, and coming over in the New Testament by the Lord paving the way, and right down through the martyrs, Christian martyrs, and even up to today, that was so wonderfully displayed by the prophet of God, Elijah the prophet. I have concluded in the scripture that it takes much more courage to go to hell than to go to heaven. And I want to prove that just a little bit. And remembering the statement of the mighty Elijah William Branham, God's servant and prophet that fulfilled Malachi 4, 5, and 6. He was promised to come today. He says, any man that goes to hell fights his way to hell. Any man that goes to hell fights his way to hell. Now, God never took him and dumped him in hell, or he just did not happen to go to hell by accident, or happen just to miss it by a little chance. No, that man fights his way to hell. Now, to fight to enter hell, you've got to do a lot of battle. And you need a lot of courage. I will tell you why. Because you are going to fight against God. You are going to fight against the wooing of the Spirit. You are going to fight against the voice of conviction. The voice of condemnation. You are going to fight against God's children. You are going to fight against God's servants. You're going to fight against God's counsel. Yes, you have to put aside all of that and choose the wrong way before you enter hell. Another wonderful statement of the prophet. He said, every man gets a chance to do right or add the gospel before he dies. Now that is hard for me to comprehend, because I realize that many people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. But that is not pertinent to hearing the gospel. It is pertinent to your conscience. Romans 2. It is stated there that they that are without law shall perish without the law, and they that are with the law shall perish by the law. Yes. For those that don't know God, even their conscience bear them witness, accusing them or excusing them. Accusing them or excusing them. Over in the book of 1 John, he says, if our conscience condemn us, then God is greater than our conscience. So now many billions of people will be judged by their conscience. Their consciousness towards God. Their consciousness toward right and wrong. And that is why after a child reached to a certain age of 5, 6, or 7, according to God's provision, that he reaches the age of accountability, and he will have to answer for the deed done in that body if he even die at that age. Because he's born with a conscience. That conscience tells him that it is wrong to do that certain thing, steal that money, or whatever wrong thing. There is a warning. Now that warning was placed there by Almighty God, and it has to do with a recording angel. And that recording angel warns you, that thing is wrong, don't do that, don't do that. Now in order for you to do that, you have to cross your conscience. First time you do it, it bothers you. Yes. The second time, it becomes a little easier. And the third time, it becomes much easier. Yes, sir. And about the next few times you do it, you lose that conviction. Yes, sir. And you go on and do that because you kill that part of your conscience. Rum, cigarette, thiefing, immorality. Yes, a man was not born to sin. And something happens when that man sinned. It bothers his conscience. And there are people that have never heard the gospel, done certain things wrong in life, and it bothered them so much until they went into the insane asylum. Now, that is why you have all these psychologists and psychiatrists. Yes, sir. All these psychiatrists, yes, sir, upon the earth have to do with mental problems. Yes, and they will go back in your life, that treatment. Go back in your life and find out what you've done. But they could only reach so far. They could only reach so far. There is nothing to help a man like the gospel. You see, a human being was not designed to commit sin. I mean, if a man commit that sin, young girls went into the insane asylum by breaking their virginity. Yeah, women went into the insane asylum and had nervous breakdowns. Yes, just because they committed adultery on their husband. And the prophet of God used to find them under discernment. Yeah. One woman come with a nervous breakdown into his office, ringing a coach. Oh my, she was so nervous. You see, those things live on in our conscience. What psychologist could take care of that? Only the blood of Jesus Christ could bring that sense of forgiveness. Yes. Ringing that clock. Prophet of God, look out there. Yes, and he doesn't. He said, I see a black car. P, such and such number. He said, I see a man with that color hair. And I see you. Yeah, you commit adultery on your husband. Yes, and you have an illegitimate child, 21 years of age. And your husband believes that that is... she screamed all day. Don't tell anybody that. Who told you that? And she started to ring that. Yeah. They say, unless you confess that to your husband, you will never get him. She said, I can't do that. My daughter will commit suicide. My daughter will commit suicide. And my husband, I don't know what he will do. Brother Branham said, you have a choice. Yes, to keep your sickness or get better. You got to confess. She said, hold a minute. Your husband has the same thing to confess to you. He said, who? My husband? Never, never, never. He is too faithful. He said, where is he? Outside. Bring him in. Prophet brought the man in. He said, yes, I'm guilty. They said, all right, you forgive her. She forgive you. Yes, prayed for the woman. She went out. So now you see certain things. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could remove the guilt of sin. That guilt of sin is a terrible thing. Think of that sometime. The guilt of sin. Man was not made to commit sin. His inside is not designed to tell a lie. That has to do with the lie detector. That is how they invented the lie detector. Yes, they connect some things upon you, and every time you tell a lie, a certain nerve vibrates and works that machine. So they say, yes, you're lying. And if you did not lie, then it would just be balanced. You see, a man was not designed for sin. He was not designed to be a liar. Yes. You were designed to be pure creatures upon the earth. You were made in the image and the likeness of God. And God is not a sinner, he is not a liar. Yes, so he was designed that way. Yes, sir. And I am saying today that it is easier to go to heaven than to hell. Yes, that guilt of sin is a terrible, terrible thing. Yes. And somebody may not know, whoever the Lord is dealing with here today, in obedience, I come to preach this message, although it is not a heavy doctrinal message. Yes. Because I feel that the Lord is going to deal with somebody, some child, some visitor, yes, or some backslider. And starting from this scratch is that our assembling here today is concerning our soul and our salvation. This is not a social gathering. Anytime you get that, as a church member, you have missed the mark. Every single service, prayer meeting, preaching, don't matter what goes on here or in any other church that has the truth, it is for one purpose. And that is for the salvation of our soul. If we have salvation already, it is for the perfection of our soul. Now, if you come here with any other attitude, any other concept, you have missed the mark. If in your mind, well, I had to come to church because of my parents, so I had to come to church because it is a Sunday, I had to come to church because it is communion, you missed the mark. You are seated there today, friends, and I am preaching to you with only one concept, and that is to draw you closer to Christ, that you don't miss salvation, that you don't miss eternal life. That puts spiritual energy into me and in all the preachers, that I am doing God this service to win a soul and to save them from that place called hell. That's the effort. It makes us tireless. It makes our effort tireless, even with that concept, that somebody is about ready to slip over the cliff, go down into hell, though they sat here for years. A sinner walking, the effort is to grab him out of the fire, snatching some out of the fire, Brother Paul. It makes the efforts, tireless efforts. When you study the damnations of hell, and the agony and the pains that goes with that, that is described in the Bible, friends, it really puts spiritual energy in all of God's servants. If we don't put that in the hearts of preachers, they are after money, house, lands, women, popularity, then they cannot express the gospel as they are supposed to express the gospel. Yes, sir. You were surprised to know that people belong to organizations and churches and don't know the value of eternal life and the damnations of hell. And even more worse, they don't realize that they are two people, a body and a soul. The emphasis is not being laid upon the value of the soul. Notice in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, he never preached very much doctrine except by parable. Jesus' messages was repentance, right through. Talking about the soul. Talking about the value of the soul. Talking about riches that will take you to hell. Yes. And all these other things, study the gospel. Yes. Brother Paul and the apostles, they brought out all about predestination and all those heavier doctrines. But our Lord, the entire gospel, the four gospel, is based upon the soul of a man. Eternal life. Repentance. Yes. Check your Bible. And you're going to see that the great God of heaven that was robed in human flesh, his messages were so simple.
Yes.
And the important thing was the soul. In so much that he said, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Then he turned around and he made exhort. He said, thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy right foot offend thee, cut it off. For it is more profitable for you to enter into life, you see, eternal life, maimed and halt, than to be cast into hell fire with all your members. He exhorted them by the parables. He exhorted them. Then he will turn around. He said, how hardly would a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. His whole ambition, aims and desire was to bring the people to the consciousness of their souls that could go to either one place, heaven or hell. And any preacher that is not preaching that, my brothers and sisters, he missed the mark and he is not concerned about the people's salvation. Yes. But I want to let you know here today, if you have missed the mark in the 40 years of my preaching, that you have a soul. And you are two people. When your body falls down and dies, your soul lives on. And only God could put that soul to death in a lake of fire. Yes, he said, fear not them that can destroy the body, but can do no more. He said, but rather fear him that can destroy both the body and the soul in hellfire. See the teachings of our Lord? Four Gospels, he was only talking about the soul and your salvation, a heaven and a hell. I can't put my finger upon any great, you know, doctrines of the Bible, like Brother Paul brought out. Yet it was based on the Gospel. Little nuggets he showed out concerning predestination. But you have a soul. That soul has only one out of two places to go, and that is a heaven or a hell. Heaven is a place of peace and happiness, and hell is a place of torment. In this life, you must go to one of those places, whether you like it or not. Now listen to that statement, you know. There is no middle line on this. You either go into a place of peace or a place of torment. Think of that a little bit. There are no middle grounds. You either go in to inherit eternal happiness or everlasting torment. But there ain't no middle ground on this thing. You've got to go to one of these places. Rich, poor, emperor, king, monarch, pharaoh, vagrant, whoever you are, you are going to one of these places.
Amen.
You were sent here upon earth, and in your life's journey, the great purpose that you were born here with was to choose which place you want to go. In all of this, God give you a free will to choose where you want to go. And that was played out in the Garden of Eden. He set two trees before them, the tree of life and the tree of death. Yes, he told them the detriments of the tree of bread. Man chose to eat from that one. God made man upright, but he upsettled many inventions. Stubborn. Hardened. Wayward. Self-willed. Self-opinion. Self-led. That is man's reputation from the morning. And that is going to cause billions of people to go to hell. And what caused them to be self-led, self-opinionated? Self-opinionated, self-led. I'll tell you this. It's his appetite. Any man that goes to hell because of a certain appetite. I preach a whole message on that. Any man that goes to hell, he goes to hell because of a certain appetite that he did not want to surrender to God and his word. Appetites of immorality, appetites of money, appetites of pride, hate, malice, bitterness. Think of it. Motor cars, house, land, fame, popularity, women. Every man that goes to hell because he did not want to surrender at least a certain appetite. Think of it, check your whole Bible and tell me that statement is wrong. No. You have a soul. That's the purpose of our gathering. Every single service. I've never preached a message in my life just to make up time. Not in my life. I've never preached one to show my pride, to show myself, to show my knowledge, to show my understanding. Never in history of my preaching. I always come to God's people with that purpose. And that is for the salvation of their souls. Because of that, God blessed it. Never to show how much knowledge, how much understanding. Never preach a message in my life that you would pay money to the ministry. No. I preach, and that is what I'm doing here this morning. Yes, with the purpose of salvation. I want to see men receive that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want to see people here and abroad prepared for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit uninterrupted. If you are not prepared for that outpouring, it is needless to prepare for the rapture. You must be prepared first for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Let alone the rapture, forget the rapture. The rapture will take care of itself. What you should be concerned about is receiving the outpouring, because you will receive the token or peril. That was the emphasis of William Branham, to receive the token or perish. Not receive the rapture, but receive the token or perish. That's my emphasis. That is the emphasis of all of God's sons in India. And way off in America and the different parts of the world, they have caught the vision. And the emphasis is receive the token or perish. Now all this is preparation for the token, friends. Yes, little ones, little brothers, little sisters. Yes, those that is ready to slip over the cliff. Those that has malice and hatred and bitterness. with one another, teenagers, man, woman, yes, and you sit down there with that for years and for months, and you cannot forgive, the Lord say he will not forgive you for your sin. You are unprepared that if that outpouring will come next year, yes, my friend, you would not have it. You would be like Simon the sorcerer with the evil things in him and try to buy the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and then be cursed by Peter. In so much that he said, peradventure, the Lord show you mercy. Peradventure. Yes, sir. Heaven or hell? What I'm saying here is plainly displayed in the Bible. In the story of Luke about the 15th or 16th chapter of Lazarus and the rich man. There is a hell and there is a heaven. Yes, heaven, my brothers and sisters, is a wonderful place. Full of glory and grace. Yes. Hell is a place of torment that every human being, we cannot imagine how bad hell is. And if hell is so bad, that is not the punishment yet. That is waited in custody for the judgment to receive your punishment in the lake of fire. Beloved, the prophet of God said that there is no words in the dictionary to explain how bad hell is. In this modern age, at the age of 14, he was running from the Lord. And the Lord bent him over and showed him hell. When you go to hell and come back, friend, you are a fortunate person. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death is the judgment. Yes? And there was a man that went to both heaven and hell and returned. And his name was our Lord Jesus. After his death, he said he came from above. Yes. He was up there. And then, at his death, the Bible says he went into the prisons. Yes. And witnessed unto the souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah. They waited there for 2,000 years in agony and pain. And he let them know that what Enoch preached about the Messiah, I am here, but you are doomed. And he released another bunch from the place called Paradise. Yes, you could call all of that heaven because it means the home of the bliss. Bliss means eternal happiness. And he redeemed those that was waiting in custody and took them away. Well, so he visited both places. And the Lord gave a man today the privilege, yes, just to stir up the minds of people. Elijah the prophet, he gave him that great blessing to visit two places. Hell first, and then heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, sir. So at the age of 14, he was trying to run away from the Lord. When you have a son of God, the Lord is going to bring you on your back. If you cannot come on your feet. Yes. Sometimes he brings you motionless. And bring you in a box. Because you are a son of God. The way of a transgressor is hard. God had been restoring his people. Yes, Brother John could relate to that. Because the son that was wayward for several years, right, he got a couple of callings. One accident, two accidents. And he himself, it was revealed to his son, the next accident that I get will be fatal if I don't come to the Lord. He did get into that accident about 4 to 5 months ago. Laying on the hospital bed, friends, without any senses whatsoever, although his eye is open, right, and moving his feet and everything, cannot know anything around him. Yes, withered away. Yes, but before that happened, before he lose, you know, much consciousness, I told Brother John what to do. And I said, go down to the hospital, the Lord is calling the young man. Go down there and ask him if he is hearing. He said, yes. Let him bat his eye, let him shake his hand if he is hearing, and lead him into a sinner's prayer. Thank God he done that. The young man's soul is saved. But what a way to come back to the Lord. I don't want that. Let us be obedient children. Yes. Finding out from Brother John, he said that he's not even responding again. But it's seemingly that he is hearing. Yes. It only takes God to bring him from where he is. The way of a transgressor is hard. Not a brother laying down there. And a hospital, kidney damage, back damage. Yes, bleeding, pumping out blood from his kidney. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the way of a transgressor is hard. Let us not go that way. When you are young and strong and healthy, your voice is very powerful. There is nobody like you. Yes. And the ox knows his master, and he asked his master's crib of a Lord Pile. But Israel do not consider. No. The animals know the master. But man is so wayward that he don't know his creator. Yes. And the prophet of God went to two places, and he just cried to hell. At the age of 7, the Lord called to him. He said, don't you ever smoke, don't you ever drink, don't you ever defy yourself with immoral women, for I have a work for you to do when you grow old. He was running away from that. On the age of 14, 2 sevens. Yeah. He had in his heart. And he was shot by his own friend by accident. And he was bleeding to death. Now he is going to serve God at the age of 21, which is 3 sevens. Brethren, his blood leaked out of his body. And he said he started to fall. You're going to hell, friend, you're going to fall. You are going down into a bottomless pit. He was laying on the bed, but he was falling. Falling, he said, it was seemed like there was no end to this falling. He said, scream for mother, scream for father, scream for everyone. Nobody to help him. And he keep going. He said, when he went down to hell, he seen women with all kinds of lipsticks and paints and everything, style that was never upon the earth in his day. He said they was agonizing, and they was in pain, and they was in torment. Yes, and they was only groaning. Later on he explained that when a man goes to hell, he remains in a choking form. If you ever had a nightmare of something strangling you and you cannot wake up, and you're helpless and you're weak and you can't even bawl, he said, a man remains in that condition because heaven cannot receive him. Yes, sir. And he remains there until the judgment in that choking form for I don't know how long, at least 1,000 years. Brethren, does that pay off? The sins of this world or the appetites of this flesh, cannot be compared with that suffering I said, take this whole world and give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Yes, I went to Suriname and I was preaching and was so blessed to hear that song sung by the bush Negroes that could not even read nor write. Yes, and they sing that song, no turning back, no turning back. They say, me wani waka. Now Jesus baka. Now sambaro, no sambaro. They at least learn that song. Yes. They want Jesus and they're not going to turn their backs on him. You can see a big like this building, they cannot recognize him. Yes, but when they hear the name of Jesus, I was preaching to them, and when they heard the name of Jesus, they prostrate on the floor. Yes, I tell them, say, Jesus. All that they could say is, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There are many thousands of people that are waiting on the gospel. This civilized world, my brother, they are too smart to receive the simplicity of the gospel. Yes, if I could impress upon your minds, children, that hell is a real place of torment, like I preached many years ago. Yes, my brother huffed up and puffed up in the office. Oh, he done that many times. Reproach God. This time he felt he had reached to his end. Yes, brother sent a message. If Brother Bruce will ever talk to him, if Brother Bruce will ever forgive him. He screamed and screamed and screamed in the hospital. The doctor has given all kinds of medication, but only he knew his problem. Yes, he was just hollering. The man was at the gates of hell. Before a big rock, he explained. And before this big rock, he was about ready to enter into hell. And some voice tell him, Brother Bruce will never forgive you for what you've done. God will never forgive you. And I happened to hear that. And I said, go tell that man, Brother Bruce, forgive him. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that man wake up the next morning. And the doctors say there was no need to be here, go home. That agony and bawling and crying and carrying on, the man was entering hell. We have a track on it. Go home. There was no need, you get better. He went home, stayed a day or 2 days, fell down and died. His soul is saved. The way of a transgressor is hard. Yet a young man, plenty of life, big strong man. Yes, it don't pay to go that way. I hope that could disturb the life of some people here today. And wherever this tape may go, and under the sound of my voice, to get an understanding of the detrimental place that hell is. We forget sometimes. It was played out in the Bible, in the story of Lazarus and the king. God gave us a free will to choose where we should go. You've got to choose one place. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? They didn't have no grounds to say, well, I ain't choose none of them. I want something else. No, the value of the soul is too great. God made that soul in order to house him for his habitation, for the place to live in. And if he cannot get to reside in that, he will destroy it. Bible says, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Right? And the Bible said he's going to destroy it. If the Lord cannot inhabit that, he will destroy it. There were no two places. Yes. You got to choose. You say, I ain't ready for this yet. You've got to choose. You've got to choose one. And God gave you a free will to do that. You want this or you want that. You want the tree of life or you want the tree of death. Free moral agency. You don't have no middle ground. You say, I ain't ready for that yet. Can't stand on that ground. Today is the day of salvation. When the Lord called you, come. Oh, we could get into many stories. Poor man riding a motorbike. He came here so enthused with the word of God. Ran over to the office. Said, brother, I believe this. I want to be baptized. And yes, I'm coming back to service tomorrow. Car bounced him, killed him off the motorbike. Next man walking, he baptized. Big strong man. After a couple of weeks, went and committed suicide. My God. God is merciful. Brethren, let this sink down into your ear. There is one out of these two places that you must choose. And you have the power to say which one of these places you want to be. No middle ground. And the Lord spoke to my heart, friend, as a young man, I was stepping out of my teenage life, and I heard the gospel. I said, do I live 100 years and run from the Lord, I will still have to face him. I may as well face him now. Yes, at the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, I commit my soul into your hand. Since then, he has control of my soul. Never took chances on God's word. Ever since, my brothers and sisters, having an understanding of the torments that a soul must go through in hell, I try to escape that place. And while I'm trying to save my soul by the gospel, I'm trying to save every living soul that I come in contact with. That's my effort on behalf of every one of you. On behalf of every human being that come in contact with me. It doesn't matter who you are, what business you come to me for. I may not witness. I'm not a good man for witnessing. Brother Jackson is. But brothers and sisters, the first thing that could come to my mind is the salvation of this human being. God, have mercy upon this man. Save his soul. Don't let him go to that place of torment. A king, monarch, yes, great man in authority, vagrant, beggar. That's the first thing that can cross my mind. But brethren, dear people, that are not concerned about the salvation of others. It makes me wonder, really, if they do have salvation. You mean to say that human beings will come in contact with you, it never dawned to you to even pray, Lord, save that man. There is a lacking in that soul. You don't need to be a preacher for that. No, you don't need no special gift for it, brethren. No, you want, brother, everybody to have the joy of salvation. If you have experienced the joy of salvation, yes, you wanted them to shun hell. Yes. If you have an understanding of that terrible place, if I go like that, I won't finish. But beloved, how can you read the story of the rich man in hell and ever make up your mind to go to hell? You say, make up my mind to go to hell. Yes, brethren. I'm talking about literally being convinced of the devil. After a man's appetite becomes so strong and his desire becomes so strong for certain items of the world, that man allow himself to be anointed of the devil until the devil convinced the man that hell is not going to be so bad after all. And somehow or the other you will make out. And it's not you alone. There are millions going down. And however they are making out, you will make out. You never heard of that deception, huh? Listen to me, friend. Satan could paint a picture and deceive a human being mind into such a place where he actually lose the fear of hell. He no longer fear hell. He no longer care if he goes to hell or go to heaven. He come up to that place where he actually is convinced that he don't have a hell. And if it does have a hell, it's not so bad after all. I'll make out. I will just have to stand the consequences. But I have to get this woman. I have to get this ganja. I have to get this marijuana. I have to commit this adultery. I have to be a homosexual. I have to live that certain way. I must get rich on this earth. Another deception is to put it off. When I have accomplished, I will repent. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. The heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. When we make our mistakes, because the Lord don't puff you in your head at the same time, there you get courage to go and do it. But he that has been often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. For the Spirit of God shall not always strive with man. Heaven is a wonderful place. Why choose hell? Is a man chooses hell? If you choose sin, you choose hell. But I'm telling you about people literally make up their mind for hell. And things that I'm going to burn out a little quicker, less than what the preachers are saying. They talk about 1,000,000 years, but I don't see that. God is too lucky. So it's unbelief that caused that. They don't believe what is written about hell here. Jesus' expression about hell, he said, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And where there the worms dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Never did a man describe hell like our Lord Jesus. None of the apostles preach about salvation and describe hell the way that our Lord Jesus described hell. He put it in words that you could understand. Yes. He said, where there the worms dieth not, the worms in itself, my brother, are fiery worms.
And they are given a period of life to suit the body that is thrown in there for 1 million years, 2 million years. That expresses the value of the soul to God. If we would punish it so greatly, it shows the value of the soul to God and his anger and his wrath. Yes, in not allowing him in his house. It's a horrible place. You talk about fiery worms. All the pretty legs that they have now and want to display it. Worms coming out of it. Worms coming out of your nose, your head. I'm not making up this story. That is what Jesus said. Yes, sir. And where the worms diet not, you hold one of them and you try to squeeze it and kill it. It's alive. Worms diet not, and the fire is not quenched. They went a day off in hell. Ball how much you want. A person being sick, but a balling under pain. You know, a man gets shot. A man gets stabbed. Some cancer disease. And they cry under that pain day and night. Yes, my brother, you could hardly bear it. I don't want to see it. Yes. Think of the torments of hell. Think of the torments of hell. That is going on there for thousands of years. And yea, in the millions of years. You're talking about a place of repentance. That's the lake of fire I'm talking about. There will be great preachers. Everybody will believe them. But just a look at Lazarus there briefly. Beloved, Lazarus was begging at the rich man's gate. And he was a Christian, as a believer. And he desired to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Bible never said he got it. He just desired it. And he had sores over his body. But friends, the dogs came and licked his sore. Come to find out that that's a good remedy. Yeah. But then, the beautiful thing, those of you who are not convinced that you have a soul, and the Bible said, and Lazarus, the beggar, died. And he was carried into the bosom of Abraham. That's paradise. Shows you that while this beggar man was laying down there, yes, that he had a next part of him which went somewhere else. You are two people. And when the body dies, your soul continues to live. That's what my Bible is saying. And you are going either to one of these two places, heaven or hell. And it is played out right here. Yes. And the rich man also died. Rich as you are, you will also die. All the money you have, you will also die. Pretty as you are, you will also die. Proud as you are, film star, emperor, you will also die. And the rich man also died. Hear what the Bible said. And in hell, he opened his eyes, being in torment. So while the funeral was going on with great orations, and the priest, my brother, sending everybody to heaven. Not one funeral we attended, the person went to hell. These deceiving hypocrites. Not one of them ever said that this soul went to hell. Everybody went to rest. There is no rest for the wicked. But a deceiving priest. Every funeral. Carol, they went to rest. They get a preacher like me. I will tell them, flat, this fellow went to hell. The way the tree leaned, that's the way it falls. So I don't preach too many funerals. Yeah. While the rich man funeral was going on, brethren, on all kinds of great swelling words and great oration by his friends, the man was catching trouble in hell. And in hell he opened up his eyes and cried, being in torment. He is still in torment. You think he will burn out easy? He is still in torment. And how long that was, Jesus went back in his great understanding into the Old Testament and picked that up. Later on, they found in history what is the man named called Diabetes. Jesus told no lies. All the stories, all the parables, were things that happened. He was truth. He could not tell a lie and make up a story. He went back, brought it up. Went back and found out in history that there lived a man called Diabetes and there lived a man called Lazarus. The Bible says he feared sumptuously. While children was fighting for his riches and relatives was fighting my brother there, the man was in hell. I don't have time for the story. But in hell, he opened up his eyes and cried, being in torment. And you know how wise this man was? He looked over there, and there was a barrication. He looked over there, and he seen Lazarus in happiness, eternal peace. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger and put one drop of water on my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Flames don't necessarily mean fire, you know. Flames of pain, flames of torment. Yes, but he asked for that drop of water and never received it. Father Abraham said, not so, son. You remember you had your good times upon the earth and Lazarus evil. Besides that, even if we feel sorry for you, there was a great gulf fixed between us. This was hell and that was paradise. That was custody, waiting for the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed. That is what Jesus went down for, to witness to Lazarus, witness to the rich man, and then in paradise, take up Lazarus with all others, take them into higher ground, where they cannot see the sufferings of these people across the chasm. There, Satan had no more hold upon these people. But Jesus stood from this side of the barrication and he said, I am the Messiah that was promised to come. And you could imagine the hope that raises from that fire. And the great man there, Diabetes, and all that went to hell, all the great pharaohs and the monarchs, and they bowed down and said, Messiah, have mercy upon us. We are the people from the days of Noah. We went wrong. We want forgiveness. We understand that you died on Calvary to forgive the sins of men. And all that is true, gentlemen, that you have sealed your doom by the rejection of Noah and all the prophets that were sent to you. You have crossed that chasm. You will wait there for another 2,000 years. Then the trumpet shall sound and your case will come up before the white throne judgment. Plead your cause then. I cannot say what will happen to you. You will plead your cause then. And the Lord took away the keys of hell, death, and the grave from Satan. Open up paradise. And let captivity captives and he gave gifts unto men. They are awaiting the trumpet. But paradise was a place of happiness. Abraham's bosom is typical to paradise. Abraham's bosom is not so big to take all them souls. That's another word for paradise. Abraham's bosom, because he was the father of the faith. And he paved the way. So you've got to come into his bosom. But we have a greater bosom today. The bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he paved the way. Oh, brethren, I hope you understanding how real heaven and hell is. Salvation. Our soul lives on after death. You mean to say that a person could be so convinced by the devil and the appetites and the things of this world that they could conclude that if I go to hell, I just go to hell? You mean you could be so angry with your brother? I'm leaving the church. I don't want to be where he is. I just hate that man. I hate that woman. Huh? Stamp up and go out and say in your mind, if I go to hell, I just go to hell. Anger is a terrible thing. Anger caused a great man, Samson, to sell the secrets of the Lord and lost his two eyes. It's a terrible thing. You mean you say you could get so vexed with your parents because they correct you? So vexed with your pastor. If he has to talk to me like that, I don't care if I go to hell. You know, people say those things. And people told me those things in time. If I had to go to hell, let me go to hell then. Under rage, under anger. Brethren, it takes plenty more courage to act like that and to actually make up your mind to say them words and to mean that if I go to hell, will I just go to hell? You are braver than me, friend. That is more courage than Hadassah. If I perish, I perish. That's more courage than Samson. More courage than Jephthah and his daughter. They were doing that for a good cause. But here, after you sit down and hear about the torments of hell, for you to make such conclusion that I'm going after this man, I'm going after that woman. That pastor hates me. I'd rather go to hell than sit under him. You are in love with yourself and in love with your pride, and you'd rather go to hell for it. I don't like how that preacher speaks. Huh? Everybody agrees with him, but I don't agree. It's your pride. What the preacher is speaking is the word of God. They are not in agreement with the preacher. It should not bring jealousy in your heart. Envy in your heart when everybody say amen. And everybody agree. Huh? In order to go now and tell your family, I don't accept all that he says, you know. Pride and jealousy working in the heart. I check out everything. Yeah, you have nothing to check me out. You came here as a mangy dog, cussbot, cigarette smoker, liar, thief, gambler, unbelief in your heart. Huh? And when you finish hear the word of God, you figure that you should be equal to the preacher, equal to William Branham, because I'm smart just like any one of them. You're going to hell for your attitude. You're going to hell for your attitude. People are like that, brethren. To those that are pure in heart is all things pure. So you don't think that we have people like that. Yes. They have people read those books. They know what is the truth. They listen to the tapes. They know what is truth. But I just cannot submit to that what is on the EODH book. I know it's right, but I just can't submit. Well, if I go to hell, I just go to hell. There are people like that. What a horrible place to reach. It takes plenty of courage to sit down with bitterness in your heart. Hatred and malice toward a brother or sister or a minister or a deacon because they corrected me. Because that word is coming every night and exposing that thing. And I will tell you, brethren, it's not just that. Every time the word goes forth, the Holy Spirit convicts the person. So now this person enters a battle to fight against the Holy Ghost. And every time they fail to repent, they provoke the Lord. As in the day of provocation, when Israel see all the signs and wonders, and they provoke the Lord by their sins and their unbelief. Unbelief provokes the Lord. Let me count this statement, brethren. For a man to go to hell, a woman to go to hell, anybody that goes to hell, they must provoke the Lord. You know why people go into hell? For provoking the Lord. They provoke him by sins and unbelief. And failure to repent when God calls them to repentance. They provoke the Lord. Read the book of Exodus and you will see what the Lord is calling provoked me. He said, as in the day of provocation. When they seen all my signs and wonders and they provoked me by their unbelief. Yes. And people provoke the Lord. They provoke him daily. Yes. How do they provoke the Lord? If you hear his voice, harden not your heart, for the Spirit of God shall not always strive with man. And the people hear the word of God. They know that they are gambling, like we have two gamblers here. Yeah? Yes, Jackson here. Gambling down in Chaguanas. Yeah, Peter Philip, two gamblers. Yeah, sit down, comfortable as ever, gambling several times. I try to put it like if it's one time, an accident. You mean after you sit down and hear the word of God from a child, your father forgive you for all your wicked deeds there, Amos. You find it convenient to go and sit in the open as a sinner to gamble. How can I believe that you have a fear of hell? And that hypocrite, Peter Philip, always doing something wrong for years, you are losing the fear of hell. So people does those things. Now people that does those things have no fear for hell. No. In other words, if you have a fear for hell, boy, you will do everything in this life to escape that place. If they light a fire there, and two fellas are grabbing you to put you in that fire, let me tell you something, you might prefer to die outside in fighting before going to that fire. You will kick, you will cuff, you will bite, they will strip off your clothes, you will run, you will roll, because you're watching that fire over there. And you don't want to go in that fire. Huh? What about hell? And you will be cast upon that pyre and you will die in just 10 minutes. That I have no dying in hell. You fear hell? People lose their fear of hell, brethren. Yes, sir. I'm saying that it's easier to go to heaven than to hell. And you have a free will to choose where you want to go. If you choose sin, you say exactly where you want to go. Yeah. People want sin, but they want to at the same time say, I want to go to heaven. No, you're speaking a parable for me. When you choose sin, you spoke in a parable. Yeah. You're trying to tell me indirectly, if I go to hell, I go to hell. Yeah. And people will hear the word of God. Forget the preacher now, he ain't nobody. But you hear the word of God. And that preacher don't know who he's talking to. And that Holy Spirit is going to come and convict that person way in the back, way out here. Hey, you hypocrite, you. You are the one that have this bitterness in your heart. Yes. Rolling your eyes at the pianist because of jealousy. Yeah, laugh out at because a sister passed. Yeah, get others there to persecute her. And you sit down with that in the church, God is going to curse you. Yeah, he's going to curse you. You say, how we just curse people? All of a sudden, one day, you say, I ain't feel to come back to church. He spit you out of his mouth. That's a horrible thing. Spit you out of his mouth. And just ain't feel to come back. You tell them that I ain't coming back. You think that happens overnight? If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. So after I finish preach here, friends, the reason you hear my voice in your ear, yes, is because that's the Holy Ghost. And because you heard the truth. Yes. Precious brother was talking the other night. Yes, he said he was in jail after he left the world, 12 years. He said, I'm in jail. He said, all of a sudden a picture come back that I'm sitting in Bethel. Yes, and I'm saying, amen. 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 Another place, he said, I fixed my shoes. He said, that's it. That's it. He lived, my brother, in torment. He said, I'm only hearing your voice. Brother, and I have no power to do that. The Holy Ghost will speak to you. Yes, sir. In the semblance of my voice. Because you heard the word from me or an ex preacher or the prophet. You hear the prophet's voice. Yes, sir. That's the Holy Ghost. Now this is what is going to take a man to hell. After a man forsake the word, forsake my brothers and sisters, the church, the Lord is not finished with him yet. I am getting to understand that daily. I thank God for his mercy, brethren. When you and I forget people, God has not forgotten them. The voice go after them. And if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That voice travel, my brother, wherever you run, to the end of the earth, you will hear it. You run to Japan, you run to China, you run to America, you're going to hear that conviction of the Holy Ghost. And here is that preacher, son. Father brought him up under the word of God. He went the wrong way. He said, Brother Bruce, I live in torment for the 11 years. He said, I just come to that place where I believe that there was no more hope for me. Yeah. He said, but I never turn against the world. I know what I heard is the truth. Yes. And that Holy Ghost, he said, my brother, he took courage. He said, Brother Bruce, I will do anything in this world if I get a chance to serve God again. Is there hope for me? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As I've already resigned, I know that I'm going to hell. I know. He said, make me arrogant. It make me with a temper. He make me just reckless. When a man knows he's going to hell, friend, he becomes reckless. Yes. Oh, gosh, that is some kind of a torment to live in. I put myself. Yes. That man bow down. Yes, you become shameless when God convicts you. Look at what the Lord is going to do today for his children. Brother, repentance is the way back to God. Yes, my heart go out. Yes, sir. You know what it is, brother, for a man to come to that place where he realizes that I'm finished, I'm done, I'm going to hell for sure. Every time the roll, every time you get behind a steering, what about if I get into an accident? Oh gosh, I'm sick, I don't know if I will die here today. Is there hope? And then out, my brother, of the hopeless, a voice come forward and say, why not? Why not cry out to the Lord? Find his servant. Ask the question. And then to hear the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You think if that happened real to a man, he could ever be a dog again and go back to the world? A man that do that fit for hell then. Yes. Brethren, it's a terrible thing. God give you a free will. Yes, sir. You let this world shine so much, young girl. Huh? You clap your hands, sing to the Lord. You're a pretty little Hadassah around. Yes. You come up to that place, you get matured. Yes. Your heart's different desires in this life. You mean to say you get so carried away that you want to experience life? Even at the cost of your soul. Even if I go to hell. I know the consequences. If I run away with an unsaved man. If I do this. If I break my virginity. If I part from the world. I know the consequences. But I will take the chance. You are very risky with your soul. And it provokes the Lord. As in the day of provocation. In the wilderness. After you receive that conviction, and you reject that conviction, and you argue with that conviction, and you make excuses for your conviction, yes, and you make your preacher the excuse, and you make your brother the excuse, and your mother the excuse, and that noise is lust working inside of you. And when that lust working in that young man and that young woman, the father become the problem, mother become the problem, pastor become the problem. Yes, the lust working inside of you. Yes. You become a big woman, big man, brought out of your mother. Nobody can talk to you again. Well, who's that old father dog? Your devil. God will rush you in the lake of fire. Brought you to the house of God, trying to save your soul from hell. Even cover your sin. Huh? Make excuses for you. And on top of that, spit in his face, spit in your mother's face. Hell is too good for you. Then that is not sufficient. You want to show how bad the word of God is. You want to show how bad the word is. Her pastor, that's your death warrant. That's your death warrant. Yes, sir. Go to Branham, experience heaven. It was a great place. Said there ain't no words in the vocabulary to describe the happiness and the peace. Everybody's young. All the sex glands are gone. Oh gosh, it will take a long time, friends. Yes, but it has to do with your free will. Has to do with your free will. Harden not your heart. As in the days of the provocation. Yes. And may not be able to do justice to the provocation, but read the book of Exodus to see that those Israelites were in torment under the slave masters. Just like you and I. We wake up with depression and go to sleep with depression. Some of you was alcoholic. Some of you cocaine. Some of you marijuana. Friends, you sought for peace. Yes, you were bewitched by rock and roll music. Yes, and you testified the same. Yes, slave masters down in Egypt land. And a deliverer come forth. His name was William Branham, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Draw you out from the rum shop, draw you from gambling, draw you from this, draw you from that, and say, we are going to a land flowing with milk and honey. And look at these people, brothers and sisters. All the miracles and all the signs and all the wonders. They got too happy. They got too happy. Yes. They started to come against God's servant. And the little thing that go wrong. Stone Moses. Is the most wicked generation I have ever read about in the pages of the Bible. Is Israel under Moses. But friends, this generation is so wicked that they won't be included in the pages of the Bible. They will go down in the history, yes, of the Lord by the recording angels. And people could become so deceitful after God blessed them with health. Listen to me, now, man. God was raining bread from heaven. They don't have to go to work. Bread. And in the bread, brother, had honey in it. Something called manna, it had honey in there. And you know what? Their shoes grow with their feet. And their clothes, my brother, never get old. Talking about a miracle of 40 years. And not one day any of their feet ever swell in that hot desert. Yes, he caused you to swell. Drink a lot of water if you have that. Yes. Not one of them, their feet ever swell. Whatever they ask for, the thirsty, God bring water. The hungry, God bring manna. There was a pillar of fire leading them. You have a prophet with a pillar of fire. He was so anointed that he had to veil his face from the Shekinah glory, blinding them. And on top of that, brethren, stone Moses. He is the problem. You choose hell. Then Jesus sum up that story. He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are all dead. The great prophet of God, interpreting that, he said, that is eternal separation from God. They all went to hell. Eternal separation from God. They went to hell. Eternally separated. A horrible thing. And that was about 2 million people, friends. They chose hell. In 40 years, they proved that they chose hell. And they chose hell at Kadesh Barnea, the judgment seat of God. You can make a lot of mistakes in this life, but when you reject God's promise, that seal your doom. And let me tell the followers of Malachi 4. You went back to the television, the sports, you went back to the worldly things around the world. Yes, but the day that you come against another outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that's the day you seal your doom. Yeah, you come against the truth of EODH, you seal your doom. That is where they made their fatal mistake at Kadesh Barnea. Oh, yeah. We have many types in the Bible. We're going to close. Now let me show you of a character called Judas. Brethren, that man had heard all the messages Jesus preached. About hell, the lake of fire. He was there when he walked in the waters. He was there when Lazarus arose from the dead after 4 days. Isn't that sufficient witness for a man to desire not to go to hell? Isn't that fair enough chance for any human being? You sit down, you heard about money, how hard the rich man will enter the kingdom of God. You heard about the worms dying not. You heard about all the torments of hell. You mean to say that you so love money and love your pride and you are so jealous of Jesus' position that you want his position that you would take such a chance at the expense of your soul going to hell? Is that reasonable for a human being? I don't believe that is reasonable, friend. And I feel when a man goes to hell, he is fit for hell. I believe a man is fit for hell when he goes to hell. Jesus treated that man with all love and kindness, knowing that he will be the betrayer. And he treated him with such respect, Brother Ram, that none of the apostles had a hint that this was that man. Jesus could have hinted that off. Yeah, he was only at the supper table when he gave him the supper. When he gave him the supper, they said, "The man is to whom I give this supper." That's the only time Jesus left him right there. My God. But that man had a chance. Like any one of the other apostles, we're going to close just now. And brethren, that man had to make up his mind, I want this money. And if I am the betrayer, I'm just the betrayer. If I have to go to hell, well, I just have to go to hell. Maybe I'm predestinated for that. Mm-hmm. Well, I am helpless because I'm not predestinated. No, you have a free will. And you have a will to choose where you want to go. And you have no third choice there. No. There are two. You want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell. It's easier to go to heaven. But hey, how easy it is, friend, to go to heaven. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, down to the dog, down to the possum, down to the beast, down to the bull. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. End of story. End of story. That is how easy it is to go to heaven. That was demonstrated. Let the musicians come. In the two thieves on the cross. Both of them were thieves, renowned thieves. One fellow on one side, the next fellow on the next side. Jesus in the middle. The innocent man. Pharisees and the high priest came. They're mocking Jesus. They say, "If thou be the Christ, come down, we'll believe you." That spirit fall upon that thief. And they say, "If thou be the Christ, save us and thyself." And the Bible says he reviled him. He bring off on him with a nasty attitude. After being conscious that that man was an innocent man. The thief told him that. The next thief told him that. He said, "This man have done nothing amiss." Look at the next attitude. The next thief, the Bible says he rebuked him. In other words, you need to shut your mouth on this cross. He said, "Don't you fear God?" Beloved, they are thieves that are afraid of God. They are murderers that are afraid of God. They are prostitutes that are afraid of God. They know his judgment. Yes.
They respect him, but they are helpless. And this was a man like that. He said, don't you fear God? See that we are in the same condemnation. And what we receive here is a just recompense. We are wicked sinners. We acknowledge our sins. You don't have some respect. This man never done nothing. He's here innocently. And you talk like that.
And he turned around. Look at the recognition. Capital L-O-R-D. Lord. My God, the everlasting gospel. Lord.
Lord, the respect, the belief, the faith. He that believeth
shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. You are really the King of the Jews. That inscription over there, I believe it. And you have a kingdom. You are going to come into your kingdom one day. But remember this thief. Remember this liar. Remember this crossbar. Remember this prostitute. Remember this deceitful man. Remember this sinner. And thou comest into thy kingdom. O God, the gracious words of the Master on how easy it is to be saved. No fighting. You may have some trials, but he will not tempt you more than you can bear. Suffer you to be tempted. He said, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus descended into paradise to bring up those that was there. And the soul of that thief, although the soldiers came, and because he did not die yet, they hold him and break his hand. That agony, pains. Oh gosh, soldiers, fear me, don't break my arm like that. Merciless Roman soldiers. He broke his next arm. Put his foot on a stone, brother. My goodness. Wasn't broken properly. Hit him with it. Agony, pain, sorrow. Put the next one there. Break! Yes. Leave them there to suffer. Crying about it. But this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. His soul ushered out. Because of that repentance, that is how easy it is to go to heaven. He is faithful and just to forgive me for all my sins. Yes, and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And that could be your portion here today as a visitor, as a little fella who have gone your way as a prostitute, as somebody that is living in sin, secret sin. You could make a decision today. Let us bow our heads. All that you have to say, wherever you are, remember me, Lord, when thou comest into your kingdom. My heart is hard. I have lost the respect for the gospel. My mind is in the world. I have come to that place where I don't care if I go to heaven or hell. Remember me, O Lord, when thou comest into thine kingdom. You can hear the voice of the Master this day. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Look at that man at the gates of hell. I forgive you. The Lord forgive you. Look at that man in the hospital. weeping and crying, have mercy upon me. Look at the great characters in the Bible. Peter, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. This is the way of salvation. That is how easy it is to go to heaven. Is to just surrender the will that God give you. Honestly, sincerely, truthfully, with desperation. Lord, I really want to make it in. It doesn't look like there is a hope for me, Lord. I've had my heart for many years. Is there a hope for me? Yes, there is a hope. God has you here for a reason. He kept you from leaving church for a reason. Even because he's still dealing with you. He's still dealing with you. You may leave here, but he will still deal with you. He may bring you back on your back. Yes, he may bring you back in a coffin. God have mercy. But what a testimony that will be. No, we want to shine as lights of the gospel. We want to have sound mind and sound bodies. We want to be used of the Lord. We don't want to come back that way. Father and our God, listen to the prayer of that heart. Do not leave them nor forsake them. Continue to convict them that they may hear your voice. Bless, O Lord, and undertake for all those who have made that decision today and will make their decision when this tape go out. I pray for those that are under the stream. Bless them. We could do with a renewal today, the renewal of our vows. Remember us when you come with your great outpouring of the Spirit. Remember us. We know that there will be an outpouring, and we believe that you will remember us when you come in your kingdom. Bless your children and bless the word today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanks. Committing, Lord, those souls into your hands with the decisions, Lord, that some will be eternal, that will save their souls. If the Lord, if you convict them, Lord, enough to be baptized today, I pray that they will quickly speak to the elders there, that they may jump into the pool and make that decision, testifying by their baptism. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Give us a song, dear brother Samuel.
Would you be free? Why this is wrong to us eternity? In a million years from now, where would you be? Where would you be? Where would you be? you be good, you be happy. Would you be free?
My days is wrong.
My days is
wrong.
Free, my lady,
are dismissed for an intermission. So the Lord bless your heart.